Do you want to build your brand by being a guest on industry-leading podcasts? If you're a business leader, an author, or a speaker, my guess is that you do. Picture this. You, a dynamic executive easily connecting with engaged audiences, turbocharging your top-of-funnel marketing, and creating a treasure trove of content with every episode. Podcasting is a game changer that you've been waiting for. And PodcastAlly.com is your VIP ticket to podcast PR success. Say goodbye to the ordinary and hello to the extraordinary exposure. Let the Podcast Ally team connect you with the best-in-class podcast for you to be a guest on. Head over to PodcastAlly.com and use the promo code DT for a 10% discount on Podcast Ally services. That's PodcastAlly.com, promo code DT. Welcome to High Octane Leadership with Donald Thompson. This season, we're diving deeper with more solo episodes, where I'll share the experiences that have led to recognition by EY, Forbes, Fast Company, and others. Not as a boast, but as milestones on my entrepreneurial path. From growing multi-million dollar firms to successful business exits and building high performance teams with a global perspective. I'll reveal the insights and strategies from my journey and share them with you so that we can win together. Alongside these solo episodes, we'll have industry visionaries and thought leaders, and we'll explore effective leadership. Ready to empower your leadership journey with real success stories? Let's embark on this transformational journey together. Welcome to another episode of High Octane Leadership, and I'm really encouraged about today's topic. We're going to talk about the art of delegation. And one of the reasons that, I love sharing and helping leaders grow and all these different things, this is one of the leadership elements that when you get right, you can create significant scale, leverage, leadership acceleration. And so I'm going to take my time with a couple of really key points as we get into why delegation is so critical and business important. And the biggest thing that we're going to talk about today is the mental model, right? The mindset, right? So when you think about why you should delegate, right? Can get more done, helps you evaluate and grow leaders, gives you the ability to cover more ground, gives you the ability to focus on higher value tasks that you need to be working on. It gives you the ability to build a high performance team because you know real time, right, what the capacity of your team is because you're working with them in their growth by allowing them to take on and extend tasks, right? These are all the reasons that we should delegate. But then why do so many leaders, why do so many business professionals, why do so many managers take on that persona of I have to do it myself? I don't trust my team. I don't know if they're going to do it the way I would or the way I could. And like most things in business and in life, we tend to gravitate in terms of our attention, in terms of our anxiety, in terms of the strength that we give a thought process to the things that are negative. So even though there's overwhelming evidence of why we should, that voice in our head of why we shouldn't, unfortunately, is stronger. And so here are a couple of key elements that we're going to talk about relative to delegation. Number one, we're going to talk about the relationship between delegation and leadership. Number two, we're going to explore the positive impacts of delegation and how it can really accelerate your leadership competency. We're going to talk about the things that are preventing you from delegating, some of the things that you're maybe scared of or don't understand. We're going to talk about the importance in leadership development and people development and why delegation is important to that. And then we're going to look at how you can actually align the right tasks. And so those are five key areas that we're going to kind of bounce around throughout, but we'll summarize towards the end. The way I'd like to start out is let's just take a mental walk together. And for those of us that have been fortunate enough to go to a very nice restaurant, think about this experience, whether it is a birthday you're celebrating. Most people have had the opportunity to go to a nice restaurant. You drive up, and there is valet out there to take care of your car. So you park your car. There's somebody that takes your coat. You get a coat tag, right? So you go in and you sit down, and the maitre d' or the person that is at the kind of the front desk helps get you seated. Someone comes in and pours you water. That person that pours you water is different than the person that takes your order and gives you the recommendation. All of a sudden, you are drifting into this very elegant, peaceful experience that is more than just a meal, right? You have really transformed from where you are to this, whether it's an Italian restaurant, a French restaurant, what have you, to a different environment. So that's that mental snapshot. And then you have an amazing meal. The manager, the general manager comes by and checks on you. The check comes, you pay the check, and you're a happy camper. You and your team, you and your partner have gone out that night, have had an amazing experience. And everyone knew their role, and everyone's role was unified. So now think about that same experience where you drive up and the valet takes your car keys. You go in and the same person that parked your car is now running full speed to get to where you're standing and waiting. They take your coat. That same person then changes hats and goes on and they're taking your order. You then see them put on an apron and they're going back, washing their hands and cooking. That person is also washing the dishes. And all of a sudden, this very peaceful, authentic, powerful moment where everyone's working together as a team and knows their job transitions in your mind, this mental walk that we're taking together, to a little bit of chaos, where one single person is trying to create this superhuman experience for you, but they're trying to be a superhero in that moment and doing it all themselves. That's how managers and leaders look when they don't understand delegation. The end of the day, you may end up with a high quality meal. The meal may be similar in quality, but the experience is radically different. The experience for your client, the experience for your employees, the experience for you as a leader. And so one of the things that I try to articulate to business professionals when we're talking about the art of delegation is how do we move from an individual mindset? And this is understanding that, this is the first key point, developing that understanding between that relationship between delegation and leadership. A leader has to move from that individual mindset, which is it's faster to do it myself. No one can do it better than me. I've never been happy with the results of others. All of those things that talk about self as an individual versus the leader of a team that's thinking about development, that's thinking about how to create more capacity, that leader that is thinking about how to grow a business that can scale. And so when we think about the perspectives on delegation, right, it really has to do with this one simple thought process is understanding as a leader that your performance is no longer about what you individually can do, but what you are responsible for based on the output productivity of your team, of your organization, of your company. And we want to help leaders to understand that the difference between what you're paid to do and the outcomes you're responsible for delivering. The stronger your team, the easier it is to delegate. So this is really tough stuff because what you have to do is when you say, I don't want to delegate because, what you're really saying is I don't have a team strong enough because. And that's not really the mental model that you want to live with it. And so how do we break that cycle? How do we think about things differently? We talk a lot these days about the personalized work experience, empathetic leadership, inclusive leadership, how to get the best out of your people, all of these things. But it really boils down to, are you creating an environment where people can grow and expand under your leadership? And to get very granular with that, you show and demonstrate trust in your team based on the level of impact their assignments have. And so it's really something that you can be very laser focused to determine a couple of things about your team in terms of thoughts and reflection. Who are your high performers? And are you stretching them enough? Who do you have on your team that shouldn't be there? Because if you're not willing to delegate important tasks to people on your team, You have to critically think about the reason why. Is every member of your team working on the right projects at the right time? A lot of the reasons that we don't want to delegate is because we assign tasks and projects and opportunities to the wrong team members. And then we're surprised when they don't succeed. And so a part of leadership from a delegation mindset is you have to know your team members well enough to know what they're good at. And if they've got five tasks that are critical to the business in that quarter, five tasks for the year, major milestones you're dealing with, you want 60 to 70% of their role built around their strengths. And then 15 to 20% on things that they are capable of doing with your help and support, capable of learning, or they've already been demonstrated they've been able to do. So when you're looking at your team, you want to think about three things. What can they do successfully so that I delegate the right things? What can they learn if given the space, the opportunity, and training? And what can they do with my hands-on support that we do together? So what can they do? What can they do with better education? And what can they do if we partner together on a project? Those three pillars are going to give you very, very specific insight on how to assign the right tasks to the right people at the right time in the right roles. And remember this critical element. Employees perform at their highest level for leaders that believe in them, leaders that stretch them, and leaders that partner with them to meet their goals and deliverables. As we think about the second layer, which is the positive impact of effective delegation, I want to think about things through the lens of the team member, lens of the employee. Most employees come to work not just for the paycheck, but they want to become a better professional. And so they gravitate to managers and leaders that are helping them make that happen. Because they know when they're better at their job, they can earn more. When they're better at their job, they can be promoted. When they're better at their job, they receive recognition. And all of us want those things as a part of our work experience. And so when we're giving employees performance-based feedback, we want to give them clear, concise feedback that allows them to create better behaviors that lend to better outcomes going forward. Another thing that employees want, and this feeds into the positive impact of effective delegation, is they want to play an important part in the growth trajectory of the business. So that means when you assign a research project on how to enter new markets, and you link that employee's project to the overall success of the business, you've not only delegated a task that has an impact on the growth of the business, but you've also communicated the value you see in that employee because you've trusted them with something of high impact, of high importance. Delegating as a leader doesn't mean you pass it and forget it. Doesn't mean you assign it and you don't hear about it again until it's done, which is a misnomer in the proper way to delegate. We'll get into that in a minute. But the point I'm making in terms of the positive impact of delegation is you compliment your employees by how much you believe in them. You show how much you believe in them, not just in your words, but in the quality of assignments that you give them. Another way that you can deliver trust in the context of leadership and delegation is not by assigning just tasks, but assigning projects that you then explain the full context of why this project matters, how it's strategic to the organization, what they're going to learn as an individual by going through this process, and the support you're going to wrap around them so that they can be successful. Trusting them with the strategic insight, again, is another way to motivate, another way to compliment, and another way to grow your team and your employees. Here's a quote from an article that I was reading about employee wellness and growth. When you trust me with the big tasks, I have evidence that my opportunity with the company is significant. We're reinforcing the positive expectation of growth and success. And so when we think about number two, which is exploring the positive impacts of delegation, most of us as leaders, when we don't delegate, focus on the negative, but we don't focus on the things in terms of employee wellness, employee productivity, loyalty, retention, because we're aligning the individual goals of our team members with the goals of our department and then the organization, and making people feel a critical component of the company's success. It's very simple in terms of being other-centered when you talk about it in a podcast and different things, but when you're in the throes of deadlines, deliverables, pressure, and different things, that natural inclination of wanting to do everything ourselves, to put on our cape and be that management superhero, still exists. So how do we overcome that to get to the goodness, right? One of the things that's important to remember is, how do you want your team members to communicate with you throughout a project's life cycle? How do you want them to ask for feedback when they run into challenges? So I'm going to give you a 1-3-1 model. Number one, you want to teach your employees to bring to you a specific problem or opportunity, not a vague set of grievances, a specific problem that they need your help and support on. Number one. Then you want to train them to bring you three potential solutions to that problem, or three potential paths to that opportunity. And then one specific recommendation that they feel strongly about and want you to thoughtfully consider at a more granular level. By teaching your team how to process information, structure information, and communicate your information in the language of leaders means that you're not going to just assign something and then throw it away. You're going to assign something, and then during that project, you're going to have them bring you different things that they're making decisions on so that you can be part of the process, but you're not running the process. Part of the thinking, but you don't own the thinking from end to end. People are allergic to the term micromanagement. But when you're first learning to delegate, you need to teach your team about how to be micro aware. That means sending a weekly email update about how the project is going, so you as a leader can weigh in on timing, on priorities, or offer your support. But it's the leader's responsibility to teach their team the way they want to receive information. Another thing that I teach team members is three A's: awareness, advice, action. So when a team member has a challenge with a project that they're working on that we've talked about, that we've delegated to them, I want them to feel very comfortable coming to me and just making me aware of how it's going. So I don't have to guess. Quick updates are great. I also want them to be comfortable if they need advice. That doesn't make them less than. And you want to teach them that. You want to communicate that. It just means, why wouldn't you get advice before you make a decision on a key project deliverable? And then the third A is action. A lot of times leaders get into the micromanagement trap because we've not slowed down to teach our teams how to communicate with us. So if someone just wants me to be aware, make sure I'm updated, and they say, Don, I just want you to be aware. I've got it. I'm still working these challenges, but I want you to be aware of what I'm working on and what I'm working through. And they'll tell me. I'll be like, fantastic. See you next week at your one-on-one. See you in a couple weeks on the project update. All good. Don, I'm really struggling. I've tried X, Y, and Z. I still haven't been able to really work through some of the people issues on my project team, and I really would like some advice. I'd like the opportunity to handle it on my own, but I'd like some advice based on what you know about me, my team, the project, some different ways I might be able to handle this. And then the third element is action. Right, Don, I made you aware a couple of weeks ago. I took your advice. I tried a couple of different things, and I'm just still struggling, right, with this component of a project, with meeting this goal or objective. and I really need you to get involved. When you delegate, you want to make sure that you teach people how to communicate back with you so that nobody feels that delegation means they're now out on an island and the only thing you expect back are the results. We need to leverage and learn and grow together. And so you've got to give your team the framework and the freedom to pull you in at times appropriate in the process. And so in terms of exploring the positive impact of effective delegation, I talked early on about the impact on employees and their wellness and how they feel and their engagement. And then the second piece was how to be effective in teaching those team members how to continue to communicate. Thirdly, and I alluded to this before, but I want to restate this, is what are some of the reasons that we don't delegate? And let's talk about ego for a little bit. Sometimes leaders don't want to share the limelight. And if you are an I first individual versus a team first individual, you're going to want to try to do all the work because you want to claim all the credit. If you are building a leadership team with scale, you're not chasing credit, you're chasing outcomes. And you know, if you produce positive outcomes, the rewards, the accolades, and credit will come. And so you're trying to build capacity in your team so that you can do bigger and better things. And so let's talk about how to overcome some of those reservations to delegating. Number one, start small, right? Start with smaller tasks that you're comfortable with so that you get into the habit of communicating tasks clearly, expectations, follow up and follow through, ongoing communication during projects. Second, keep this in mind. If you're trying to do everything else, everything on your own, think about the metaphor of the restaurant where one individual is parking the cars, seating the guests, taking the orders, cooking the food, cleaning the dishes, and how chaotic that looks, and how limiting that business owner's prospects are to build a brighter future with scale, because it's almost impossible. You think that by doing everything yourself, you think that by being the superhero with the cape, you think that creates long-term growth and sustainability. It just doesn't. And so one of the things I had to understand, if I was going to create multi-million dollar businesses at scale, that someone would want to come acquire one day. If I wanted to coach and work with leaders that are running multi-billion dollar global organizations, then the art of delegation was not something that I could do if I wanted to do. It is something that had to become a part of my strategic DNA to be able to do well. And so when we think about those barriers, fine, we have to think about the reasons to overcome them that are so much stronger. And here's the thing. You as a leader are only as strong as your team. And how do you know how strong your team is? If you don't stretch them, give them top tasks, and you will not be able to retain high performers by giving them grunt work. They won't do it, they won't stay, and they won't work for you. You want to become a leader with a brand that builds talent, that gets people promoted, that builds talent, that gets people pay raises, that builds talent, that gets people higher, better paying opportunities both inside and outside of your organization. And that talent brand will have the best, most highest performing individuals wanting to work for you. Because not only are you willing to delegate, which is tactical, you are a true leader and you're in the people development business, no matter what your partnership. People development business, no matter what your product. You're in the people development business, no matter what you're promoting. And when people understand that about you, they want to be a part of what you're doing and building because they know that they're going to be better off because they were under your leadership and tutelage for some time. The fourth element. So one of the things that I want to talk about is just understanding the importance of development from a team construct. And here's something that is interesting, is you've got to align yourself with your individual calendar and priorities first before you can be a powerful leader from a delegation standpoint. So now let's think about this. Most executives, most emerging executives, most emerging leaders do not work 39.9 hours a week. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're trying to figure out how to double your income while still working 39 hours a week, 40 hours a week, how to build a multimillion dollar company and exit, how to do these major things, you can't have a time cap on how hard you work. Work-life integration, yep. Mental health, wellness, yep. Get it. I'm all about it, right? How do we manage burnout? I get it. But most people don't work hard enough for burnout to be caused by the amount of work they're doing. It's usually work, anxiety, health, all these things wrapped up into it. So let's not blame the number of hours when most people aren't working that much. But for those of us with high octane goals, we have to have a little bit different thought process in terms of how we work. Now, I'm not advocating just the grind. I think that you have to work strategically, smart. And that's what we're going to talk about here, which is that leverage. You gain leverage by thinking about a 50-hour work week like this. 30 hours should be very, very focused on the things that you can do that help the business grow strategically. 10 hours should be focused on the projects and the people that you've delegated to and helping make sure that they're on track. So that first 40 hours are the things you need to do, meetings you need to be in, briefs you need to read, customers and clients you need to talk to. Then you have 10 hours that are focused on the 5 to 7 tasks and projects that you've delegated throughout the organization. And then the next 10 hours need to be on what you can do to think more strategically, next level, learning opportunities, stretch assignments from your boss, from your manager. And so I break down my work week in that 30, 10, and 10. 30 hours on the things you can do to impact and create leverage. 10 hours a week managing your team, managing the people and the projects. And then 10 hours a week focused on stretch goals, creative thinking, new ideas, innovation, new learning. And that gives you the proper executive mindset that you can run that kind of system, whether you're leading 10 people or 10,000, right? Because it's a mental model of what you're supposed to be focused on. And the importance of thinking about it that way is that now that you have your time blocked in those different elements, now all of a sudden when you're looking at the people and the projects, you can take the insight we discussed a few minutes ago in terms of right people, right roles. You can take a step back and look at the development plans for your people and your organization. And you can also be thinking about the tough decisions that you have to make, because sometimes you have the wrong people in the wrong seats. And you got to make some tough decisions. The fifth pillar of our discussion today is going to be about getting a little more tactical and creating that plan for delegating and that mental model for delegating tasks. We alluded to it a little bit briefly, but I'm going to give you four elements. Things you do, things you delegate, things you delay, and things you discard. All critical. A lot of times we create stress, anxiety around tasks that are on our list that don't matter, we'll never get to, don't know how they got there, and have no business impact on what we're doing. Gotta have a good discard button, delete button, and keep it moving. Then there are things to where you've let other people's priorities that don't align with yours jump in the front of the line. And that's where we have to delay things. Everything can't get our time, attention, and intensity at the same time. So we have to think about things that are important now, that have a high impact now, that affect the business now. And then there are other things that have to be done later. You have to have that delay function where you can look at the things that are on your list, map them to things that are prioritized for now, next, and never. And those things that are in the never bucket, let's discard. Then you look at the things you want to delegate and that true evaluation of your team. Think about these three things again for your team. What can they do now, given the opportunity? They're capable. What can they do with training if you're willing to invest in some learning? And what can your team do if you partner on a project with them and you're rowing in the boat together? With those three points of thinking, That's where we look at delegating. And then we roll up to the things that we need to do as an individual, things that we might want to delegate, but we need to really do ourselves, because that's where the magic happens. That's where we're uniquely qualified. So again, here are four things to think about to delegate effectively. The things that we do, that we're uniquely qualified. We raise the bar. We have the highest leverage in this activity. Things we need to delegate. Things we need to delay. And things we need to discard. And when we think about how to plan those activities using that framework, that mental model is super important, because we've got so many different things that are flying at us. It is really important to have a structured way to think about all of the different tasks, priorities, phone calls, Zooms, meetings, projects, initiatives that you could be involved in. And so that's why I think about, what should I do? What should I delegate? What should I delay? And what should I discard? As we conclude our conversation today, and we talk about the leadership's perspective on delegation, one of the things that I found is that if you can't do your job effectively and efficiently, then where's the time for you to learn how to go to the next level? So one of the things that I always wanted to share with my boss, my leader, my board, my investors, just depending on the situation, is, here's the handle I have on my core responsibilities. Here's what I'm personally doing to make the magic work. Here's what I've delegated to my team. And then here are some learning objectives for me to scale as an individual, for me to support special projects for the leadership or the board, for me to take on new learnings for my own competency. And that then comes back to that 50-hour work week, 30 hours on your core, 10 hours on your people and your projects, 10 hours on your new scale capability and how to support your leader. And if you want to grow in an organization, think about how powerful this is. Let's say your manager's name is Jennifer. Jennifer, here are the things that I'm doing. Here are the things that my team is doing that I'm responsible for. I've got 5 to 7 hours of bandwidth to help with any problems that you've got that are also learning opportunities and growth opportunities for me. So I want to just keep in mind that the way I have my schedule aligned is that I've always carved out a little bit of time to help you attack a challenge that you're looking to overcome, that you need an extra set of hands, you need a thought partner. I want you to always be willing to consider me, that my team is run well enough that I have enough room to support you on some things I may not know are even a challenge to you. And if I can be helpful, please give me that opportunity to be helpful. Yo, if you got your game together like that, right? Opportunity, accolades, learning opportunities are going to gravitate towards you. And it's just the language of how leaders speak and lead and communicate. And being able to delegate tasks to others makes you more effective, more valuable, and gives you more scale. As we wrap up our conversation today, I am humbled by the things that I'm sharing, because it kind of forces me to relive things that I've learned. And a lot of times I've learned through coaches, through books, through seminars, or through being stubborn and making a lot of mistakes. And so a couple final thoughts, right? You can help people by delegating well, but you can also hurt people and their careers by delegating poorly. And there was a time in my career to where I had an executive that I put in the absolute wrong position. And they failed miserably. Thankfully, we recognized it. I took responsibility for it. I changed their role back to areas of their strength. But it took about a year for that individual to regain their professional self-esteem, for their teammates to remember their successes and not this significant failure. And the individual was a phenomenal team member. But I, as a leader, put them in a position that they weren't ready or equipped or had the right temperament for. So I want to leave you all with, the reasons to delegate are clear. The impact, the positive impact of delegation is clear. The responsibility for us as leaders to do it well, to do it thoughtfully, to monitor our decisions as they go, is critical. And my goal in sharing with you all today is that we build better workplaces for all. And the best way to share how you feel about your team is to trust them with big assignments, to coach them as if they're the next Super Bowl champion, and to support them in a manner that there isn't fear, uncertainty, and doubt in bringing you information if they want you to be aware, if they need your advice, if they need you to take action. And so delegation is a tactic, but is a fundamental, critical tactic around leadership development. And the stronger leader you are, the more you're able to delegate appropriately with right people, right projects, right support.
Thank you for joining us on High Octane Leadership with Donald Thompson. Today's episode is a step in our collective journey towards leadership excellence. Remember, every story we share and every insight we gain is a piece in the puzzle of our leadership journey. For more insight and detail, hit the subscribe button so that we can stay connected. For deeper information and more episodes, go to donaldthompson.com. Continue to lead with vision and purpose, and until we meet again, embrace your role as a high-octane leader in the ever-evolving world of business.